Matthew 6. Oh, man, once again, a familiar. They're all familiar texts for me. I mean, most of us that's been saved very long. Matthew 6. Before I do the text, I'll tell you a funny story. I called Greg Hepler, as I said, and I hadn't talked to him in, it's been some years since we've actually talked because they moved way up to Covington. And I knew when he answered, and I said, "Hey, is this Greg?" And he knew right away who my voice. I said, "Do you know who I was?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I knew." So funny story, the other day I was talking to Tom Ryan on he was in his truck, and they were sitting at the train crossing. Had his phone coming through the radio on the truck, the window down. Of course, Tom, he can't hear. He's got the radio jacked up. So I'm talking to him on the phone, and then a few minutes later, I get this text from Ruth's daughter, Michelle Johns. And they used to be our neighbors across the street. And Ruth said, "Hey, Pastor, I just heard your voice coming through the radio of a truck I just drove by at the train tracks." I text her back. I said, "Tom Ryan." So he's got it turned up. She hears my voice on the radio coming out the radio player, and she knew it was me. Man, that's funny right there, man. But anyway, funny stories of life. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and this is, like I say, familiar to us. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," this is Jesus speaking, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for our fellowship and the singing and all that's been done already, Lord. Thank you. We have a good place to meet and got one thing in common, and that's you. And I pray now that our minds will be clear, focused on your word. We can think, Lord, meditate upon your word, and we know the transforming power that lies in your word. And I pray for that tonight with us, and help us be attentive to it. And thank you for your word, Lord, for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message, I told you, to be a companion message for this morning's message, is God's Will, God's Will. And, of course, this section of the book, and I usually point this out if I'm in it, it's known as the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord praying, though. The Lord's Prayer is John 17, I'm sorry. And that's the Lord praying. And notice what he said there. He didn't say, "Pray these words." He said, "After this manner, pray ye." After this way, this is kind of an outline, and it works in a certain way. He said, "Pray you," the pattern of that. It's not a substitute for heartfelt prayer. I mean, the greatest prayer in the world is something that's sincere from somebody's heart there. And the purpose of the prayer, and as this outline goes along, when he says, "Hallowed be thy name," we know what's our sole purpose on earth? To glorify God. The purpose of prayer, our prayer life should be to glorify God. I mean, that's our whole purpose of that. And God's name, glorify God. God's name, ask for help to accomplish his will on earth. That's the purpose of prayer. You can boil it down far enough. It's to accomplish God's will on earth. That's what Jesus just said. That's just what he said, right? He said, he praised him, and then he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so we see that the outline pattern begins with God's interest, not ours. God's always first in everything. God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. That's the important thing. You get your prayer focused on that. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have some answers to prayers. You start focusing, praying this away, God's will be done on earth. We're going to have some answers to prayer. A lot of people say, I never get an answer. I can't feel God moving. Probably praying the wrong thing. That's probably, where it all starts. So think about this. Every time we pray, we have this thought. Will the answer to my prayer glorify God? Or can the answer to my prayer glorify God? Can there be God's glory involved in that? That would be a good solution to what, how, and what to pray about. So this prayer outline here shows us, and even just in the little part that I read to it, shows us to establish our relationship, number one, with God. He said, "Our Father." Now, he didn't say my Father. He said, "Our Father." He said, so it's a relationship with God that's needed before anything, to have a relationship with God. And then praise. Hallowed be thy name. I mean, man, this is it. So, you know, a lost person can't pray that prayer because he's not, God's not their father. We can't do that. But verse 10, and that's the key thing, and that's the verse I really want to preach on. It contains two closely related requests. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven is kind of just added on to the request. The two requests are, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven. So both of those requests shift our focus away from ourselves, our problems, our priorities. Man, you know, most of the time that's where our focus is when there's a prayer anyway. But this, it shifts the focus back to God. Man, God's will be done on earth. Man, we start thinking about that. It's not a passive wish. Like, God's will be done on earth. You know, we just, well, I hope God just get his will done on earth. That's not it at all. It's not a passive request. It's an active request. It's a foundational realignment of our heart to God's will. We have to get our thought on that. It's an invitation for God to break into our lives and align our will with his will. Even, and I kind of briefly went with that in this morning when Jesus said, not nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He was aligning his heart with the will of God, even though his will was not a carnal will or a sinful will, but he had a will that was different than God the Father's will. In his humanity, he had that will. So I got just really two main points. And the very first one is God's will in heaven. It tells us, it said, as it said there, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how's God's will in heaven? You know, everybody talks about, boy, I can't wait till we get to heaven. Man, hallelujah, boy. I just can't wait till we get there. Well, let me tell you something about heaven. God's will is always done in heaven. God's will is never not done in heaven. It's always done in heaven. Well, if you're so excited about getting to heaven, where God's will is always going to be done, why don't you do God's will while you're here on earth? Because that's what's going to have to be going on in heaven. Oh, it'll be different. It won't be all that different. I mean, we won't have sin, temptation, but we still have the ability to do it. It's going to be great. God's will. Listen, it's going to be done in heaven. So does that tell us? That tells us what? That there is a will in heaven. Will we have, there's a lot of wills in these sentences. Will we have a will in heaven? Yeah. We're going to have a will in heaven. Lucifer, who became Satan, had a will in heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above you. Huh? I will be like the Most High, he said. He had a will when he was in heaven, got thrown out of heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If there's something that we can't understand, I can't understand that. You know, you can debate and talk and scratch and how in the world? That means that there was sin in heaven. There was sin in heaven. That Lucifer said, now, he wasn't a human, he was an angel, but he said his will was against God's will, which is sin. He denied, he said, I'm going to exalt my throne. That's pride. Pride existed. I can't explain that to you. Well, how come it's in? I don't think it'll be there again. I don't think it's going to be a problem for us when we get to heaven. I don't think we're going to have a pride problem, but we will have a will. We'll be able, but our will be so aligned with God that we'll do the will of God in heaven. We're just going to do it. He won't make us. Mm-mm. I don't think when we get a new body that God's going to give us a new body, which we do need, but I don't think we're still going to have the characteristics. We're made in the image of God to start with, and that is characteristically, not physically. And characteristically, we have a will today because God has a will. So he made us like himself. We have a will. Some people don't believe that. We have a will. But I don't think when we get a new body, we get to heaven, God's suddenly going to take our will away and now we're just like a bunch of robots going on. I think we're still going to have a will, but our will is not going to be corrupted. And our will is, you know, we won't have a carnal nature at all. Our will's not going to be corrupted. It'll be lined up with the will of God. He's not going to make us do things. We're going to do it out of love, which is what he wants us to do. What his will is for us on earth is that we would do things out of love to start with. This is how it'll work. So I don't think that those things are going to change. What's going to change then? If we got a will, and we could use it either way we want, but we won't use it against God's will. What is going to change? Well, it has to do with even something I talked about this morning. Our understanding is going to change. See, right now, we know, like I said, we have a finite mind, so our understanding is limited. But then we're going to know. We're going to know something. We're going to know more than what we know now. And our understanding is going to be, and we'll know more clearly. And I talked to this to the teen class. I talked to the teen class this morning about this. You know, we always want to be happy. We're pursuing happiness. We're pursuing satisfaction, you know, contentment and all that. And we try to do it in the world and it doesn't work. But we really know and joy and fulfillment in this life when we are in obedience with God. And if you've been saved ever long, ask the teen that. Riley, she knew what I was talking about. We asked the team this. You know, if you've been saved any amount of time, there's times we feel distant from God. There's times he doesn't feel near. There's times we feel guilty or we have like there's this darkness or a cloud over us. When is that? It's when we've been disobedient, if we've got sin in our life somehow. But then we notice that when we're, and I'm not saying perfection, but I mean when we're being obedient to God and we've got things under the blood and we're, you know, not practicing sin, there's that joy and fulfillment that come. We feel that. You can feel that. And if we get distant, it's our fault. We've just got away from the Word. We've got away from prayer. We've got away from worship. That happens to us. We get distant from God. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You've been saved any amount of time. Well, you know, but you know how that joy is and that contentment? When just think how it's going to be in heaven. When we haven't been taken one step forward and two back, or two forward and one back. We've been obedient the whole time, and we're going to be so full of God, and so we're going to have the joy, the fullness, the completeness of obeying God's will. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to obey God's will, and I don't mean like, oh man, we got to obey God's will. You know what'll happen? You know what happened to Lucifer? I heard about that, man. They kicked him out of heaven, right? No, it's not going to be like that. This is going to be out of our will so aligned with God's will, we joyfully are going to be. I mean, sometimes even down here on earth, I think we obey God's will, but we don't want to. I mean, way down inside, you'd never admit it. Way down inside, oh, man, I don't want to do it. You know, but we do it. And you know, that's better than not doing it, but it's not the same as doing it out of love and joy, and you have all that. So we're going to have that. In heaven, our will by its own choice. And this is the way God wants it to be here on earth too. Pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our will by choice will be at one with the holy will of God the Father. That's how it's going to be in heaven. That's the way it is in heaven. Think about that. Huh? Man, we can't hardly comprehend no spiritual struggle. We can't hardly comprehend that. We won't have it there. We're not going to be struggling. Oh, man. They're calling a meeting. They're going to have a big service. I don't really want to go, man. You know, we're not going to be, we're not going to do that. It's not going to happen to us. And not in heaven. That's the will of God in heaven. And only one will be accomplished in heaven, and that's going to be the will of God. Amen. This would be a perfect world if the only will that was accomplished on earth is the will of God. Amen. And one day, that will happen. That will happen. God's will. Even in the millennial reign, we know that millions of people will be born that do not get saved, because we know that at the end, when Satan's loose for a little season, he gets loosed, and it says he goes out to deceive the nations, and number is as the sand of the sea. That many people living in a perfect environment during the millennial reign, and they still are lost. But there won't be any disobedience because he's going to rule with a rod of iron. The Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron. There won't be disobedience during the millennial reign until that end thing when Satan's loosed and he goes out and deceives the nations and the people that aren't really saved. So during that time, it's going to be God's will being done on earth, and then, of course, future after that, it certainly will be that way. So we'll be at one with the Father's will. That's going to happen. That's what's going to happen in heaven. But now we think about God's will on earth. God's will on earth now. So we think about, well, why is God's will not done on earth now? I mean, the fall, ever since the fall of man, and think about that. Here you go. Let's think about that. Well, like I said to you a minute ago, there was sin in heaven. I can't explain it. There was pride, and Lucifer raised up against God, and they threw him out of heaven. Before Satan deceived Adam and Eve, before he deceived them, he tempted them with pride. They had to have it to be tempted by it. He said, you know, he put doubt in their mind, hath God said? But then he said, God knows if you eat this, you're going to become like gods. Your knowledge is going to be increased. You're going to become like gods. And they thought, okay, that was a temptation of pride. They were tempted to fall by something with them in already. I can't explain that to you either. Because we say, well, sin or didn't have to fall of man. There was a certain amount there, or the ability to sin existed at least before that. It had to, or else he couldn't have used pride to tempt him. And that was part of it. I mean, he did try to deceive their mind with saying, you know, hath God said, putting doubt, and that's still a tactic that Satan uses today. We'll get to that in the Sunday school class whenever I get back to the class. Or we're going to talk about that a little bit right there. So we think, why is God's will not done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, when sin did enter in, and even then, like I say, before that, Adam and Eve had to think this. Perfect joy in heaven, perfect satisfaction, contentment, whatever. We, in this earth, the people that aren't seeking God, they're trying to find pleasure, satisfaction, completeness, joy, happiness, whatever. They're trying to find it another way apart from God. Well, that was Adam and Eve's temptation. God said, I mean, they were living in a perfect environment. They were happy and they were there, but Satan said, hey, listen, your eyes are going to be open. I'm going to give you something else. It's going to make you happier. And they went after that. So what it is, what we see in the world today is the whole world, all the corruptness in the world is the world that's trying to live apart from God, and we're seeing the results of it. It's on the evening news, and it's in the newspapers every time. We're seeing the results of that. So what happens? We now there's rebellion against God. This is what the world's doing, rebellion against God. And pride, selfishness, self-centeredness, immorality, lust, hate, all that entered in. Now there's spiritual warfare that's going on. God's will and our will. God's will. And now here we are ourselves, like I said this morning. Our big battle is against ourselves. Why? Because ourself has a will that's contrary to the will of God on earth. And we still struggle with this, even as saved people, filled with the Holy Spirit, saved, born again, the whole nine yards. We have to do that. So, again, understanding, this came up this morning and this evening already once, and think about this. Heaven, in our heaven, our understanding's will be complete. It's just going to, we're going to know things that we can't comprehend. We may find out why. You know, nothing caught God by surprise. I've got that much understanding of God's omniscience to know that he wasn't like, oh, wow, one of them angels is just, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm throwing him out of heaven. I mean, he had this all planned. I mean, I could say it simply this way. He planned it that way so he could send him to earth, so he could deceive man, so man would fall into sin, and then they would be ruined by sin, and I would have to send a Savior so they could find out how much I love them. There it is. You can preach that, brother. It's outlined for you, right? He wanted to show, how can I show my love to man? So he had to have the whole race fall. Lucifer was his man. Sent him, or angel man. So understanding. Our understanding on earth is in need of a change, even as saved people. We have a misunderstanding a lot of times. You know, when we think about God's will, you know, right off the bat, you think, well, God's will. What is God's will? What is God? You know, we think right off the bat, the very first thing that pops in your mind is the law. You know, thou shalt not, you know, have no other gods before me, you know, the whole nine yards. And we think about that. And you know what? What happened with the law? We failed a lot of time. God had a purpose, didn't catch God off guard. He wanted to show us how lost we were, how to do it. I'm going to give them the law and say, okay, obey that. And everybody failed all the time, and they got frustrated with it, see? So God says, okay, I'm going to. But we think about that. You know, a lot of people, you can go out to lost people and say, God, oh yeah, man, God. You know, he's up there. He doesn't want me to have any fun. He's pointing that bony finger down and saying, don't do this and don't do that. And every time, you know, whenever he's a little kid, like that little boy that was in here, don't. I mean, everything you do is don't, right? And that's how sometimes the world views God. Like, you know, I just can't do anything. Because everything you want to do is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Everything. This guy should have kept that kid in here, man. We could have used him for an illustration. Everything you want to do is the wrong thing. And so we see the law and we say, well, there's a whole lot of I can'ts or shall nots and don't do's in the law. We think, okay, that's God's will, but my will wants to do everything that is in the law. If we didn't want to do it, God wouldn't have to write a law against it anyway. Right? Then we think of trials. You know, there's things that come along in life that we don't understand. And as Christians, this happens. There's these trials we go through. And like Jesus, he faced that trial of the cross. And he said, you know, if it's possible for this cup to pass, but nevertheless, not my will. That was a battle of the will against the trial that was set before him. Now, he understood it all. He knew exactly what he was doing. But we have trials, and we don't know what they're there for. We don't know why. All the thing we can say is God's hand is in it. And there's this trial. And we look at that and we think, okay, here's this conflict we see of, you know, and we may not understand. We have a misunderstanding of God's will. We don't understand. And yet you learn it. You know, you learn this along the way, that God is in the sanctification process. He's putting us through. We can have our faith be increased. You don't get increased faith in a good time. You get increased faith in a trial or a circumstance in life. So, you know, as we mature in Christ, we start to understand that. You start to understand it, but we might not at first. And so, you know, and then we have a misunderstanding. Well, why do we have a misunderstanding? Well, because we don't put forth the effort to understand the mind of God. Well, how much effort does it take? Well, I'd start with reading your Bible would be a good place. How hard is it to read? I know it's really tough, right? We read the Word of God. We pray. We learn about God. And the one thing that we can learn more than anything, you know, God's will, this is a deep sentence. God's will is the origin of love. God's will is the origin of love. There's nothing that God tells us to do or leads us to do that is ultimately bad for us. Everything that God is leading us to the very best, and we fight and kicking and screaming every step of the way. All he wants is the best. He's not like saying, hey, watch this, I'll get him. I'm going to take him over here, watch him mess this up, watch him fail, watch him struggle, watch him sweat. We're going to watch him sweat for a little while. They're all sitting up in heaven going, yeah, look, boy, he's sweating bullets. No, he's got the best thing for us. Well, then how come we ain't always doing God's will? Because if I say this, do you think God always wants the best for us? Everyone going to go like this, go ahead and bob your head down. Then how come we don't always do God's will? Because we don't really believe it. We think that something bad's going to happen. Well, there might be a bad, what we would call bad, in there somewhere, but the bad thing may be a good thing if it increases your faith and it increases your confidence in God. Those things, that's it. You know, we have to start keep reading in the Word and keep praying, and the God's will is the origin of love. It is the source of power. Well, I just don't feel God's power in my life. Well, how about being obedient and see if it doesn't work out? You know, how about doing what God tells you to do? How about fulfilling the Great Commission? Huh? See how that works out. See if you don't see God's power. It's the source of joy. Well, I don't, joy, everlasting. We talked to the teens this morning about the difference between happiness and joy. And joy is everlasting in spite of the circumstance that there's there. Well, start being obedient and see. If you don't, and you know, if you've ever been obedient at all, you know the feeling of joy to some degree. You know that. Well, don't you want to live in that pocket right there all the time? Then why aren't you obedient all the time? You can be. We don't have to sin. We don't have to. We just don't. It's here. It's knowing. It's the knowledge. Only the will of God can really reveal. Only in the will of God. Put it this way. Only in the will of God can all his love and all his blessedness be comprehended by us. We cannot comprehend the love of God in disobedience. You cannot comprehend the blessedness of God in disobedience. The only way that you really comprehend it is when we are obedient to God. And then you see, wow, it turned out just like God said it would. Because he loves us, right? He's love. It has to. Now, we can know the will of God by his word. We can know the will of God by his word, but we can't understand it without obedience. We can't really understand it, not very deeply, you know, not deeply. Obedience to his word is obedience to God's will. That's knowing that. And boy, this is the thing. So if we, you know, we just boil it down. Like I said, I believe you all would agree with me that God's got a perfect will and that God loves us and that God wants us to experience all of his love and joy. He wants us to become holy. He wants us to become, you know, be used by him. You say all that. Then follow his will. Now, but we resist. See, so it has to tell us that we don't have a real clear picture as we could have of God, of understanding of God's will. You know, the word says a lot about God's will. John 6:40 says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's God's will. Now listen, the Calvinists, the Calvinists are going to say, well, that, and I don't ascribe to this, that Jesus only died for the people that are going to be saved. That's limited atonement, and I don't believe that. Because what they say, this is what they say. It has to do with God's will. They say if Jesus died for everybody in the whole world so that they could be saved and the whole world doesn't get saved, then God's will wasn't accomplished. That's not true, because in his sovereignty, God's will was that Jesus die for the sins of the whole world, knowing good and well that the whole world would not be saved. That was God's will. But he still loved them. Because if we divide that, then we got to say, well, you know what? God loved the saved people more than he did the lost people. He loves everybody the same. He does. Doesn't love what they do. Doesn't love. He's not willing that any should perish. See, they use that verse and say, well, but this was God's will. This was God's sovereign will from the beginning. He knew this. He knew it. He gave us the choice. You know, he did give us the choice. And so, but it's God, you know, God, and the will of God is that sinners receive Christ by faith. That's God's will. He's willing for this. Listen, well, you say, well, God's will. Well, listen, all right, then if you want to use that philosophy, well, then every time God's not willing that you and I sin. So if you and I sinned, was God's will not accomplished? Was he a failure? Well, then how come if all the people in the world that he died for don't get saved, why is he a failure then? It's the same way. It's the same thing. It's the same argument. Because the people that believe that are going to say, no, they're not always obedient to God's will. I said, well, did God fail because he's not willing that you sin? Right? And then what do they say? Nothing. When they got nothing to say. Okay? So we understand that. So God's not willing that any perish, and God's not willing that we sin. But here's the thing. God is willing Not willing. I mean, he's wanting everybody to be saved. That was his whole purpose. And here's the thing. God works through people to accomplish that will. Guess what people? Look in the mirror. If you're saved, us. God's will is to use us to accomplish his will. Huh? Y'all are going to be dreaming about this word will tonight, man. That's all you're going to be thinking. God, that's God's purpose. So now we've got to surrender to his will, to this work, so that his will be done on earth. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, his will. Now he's in heaven bodily, yet he dwells in us spiritually to continue his will, which is the Father's will, through us, which we have to make his will our will. That's how he chose to do it. That's it. His will. So we're praying for his will to be done on earth. We're really praying for ourselves, because that's how he's going to do it. That's how he's going to do it. If you pray for his will to be done on earth, jump on board with God's will then. Jump on board. Get out there and win some souls. That's what he wants to do. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the first part of it says, "For this is the will of God, even our sanctification." So God is willing with his whole heart to make us holy. God wants to make us holy. He leads us. I mean, the Holy Spirit leads us to that. Actually, the whole purpose of the law, what was the purpose of the law? To show us what holiness looks like. This would be it. The law was leading people to be holy. Now, they didn't have, before the giving of the Holy Spirit, they couldn't do it. You know, didn't have the power to do it. They could do some of it. I mean, they could do some of it some of the time, but not all of it all the time. And we didn't have the Holy Spirit. But that was still the purpose of the law, to show us that, the holy life. But this is his purpose. He wants to make us holy. And he leads us. His will, through his word, his spirit, is leading us to holiness. This is how God leads us. That's what he wants to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "God's will that we give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's God's will that we be thankful. Well, we are thankful in some things. Blessings, you know, good times. What about when it's not good times? What about Job? Was he being thankful? Daniel in the lion's den, or Jacob in prison. Those guys had to learn this stuff. They had to learn that. I think I got them as an illustration somewhere else along here, but they had to learn it. This is it. And so to be thankful. What do you think we're going to be doing? What do you think our attitude in heaven's going to be like? God's will be done on earth as is in heaven. What do you think our attitude's going to be like? What are we going to be doing? Well, I think it'll be a thankful. I think there'll be praise, thankfulness. I think thankfulness and praise, I don't know how you separate that. Talked about it. I mean, it's the same thing. So here, we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to be thankful, man. Do you think there's going to be joyfulness in heaven? Woo, man, huh? But you know what? I think it's going to be so different. Like now we're thinking about, yeah, man, we're up there, no sins attacking us, and now we made it. You know, we know we're not going to hell. Now we're in heaven and all that. But I think there's going to be some deeper joyfulnesses. Our understanding is going to be so clear. We have a better understanding. We'll be joyful about that, huh? We'll know a lot of things that we don't know. I mean, it's just going to be so much deeper than, and it probably hasn't entered into our mind what will be making us joyful in heaven. It's not going to be a lot of superficial things that we may think here. I don't think it will be. So, listen, we are destined to be thankful and joyful. We're going in that direction now. We should be going that direction. But the only people who have a thankful and joyful life are those that surrender to the will of God. That's the only people in this life on earth, as will be done in earth as is in heaven. The only people that are really thankful and joyful, like the Bible's talking about, are people that are in obedience to the will of God. That produces it. What are we trying to do in our whole life? Trying to be happy, trying to be joyful, trying to be satisfied. God said, listen, I'm trying to lead you there with everything I got. I got the Holy Spirit. I got the Word of God. I got the church. I'm trying to get you there. Just listen to what I'm saying. Be obedient to the Word of God, and you'll have all that. Whatever God desires for and through us, He will bring to pass if we don't resist Him. This is God's will. He wants to bring His will to pass through us if we won't resist Him. That's a profound thought. Man, that God wants to use you. Yeah, you. Not just me. You. God wants to use you. He wants to bring His will to pass on earth as it is in heaven through every believer. That's what He wants to do. Every believer. He wants to do that. If we don't, and He will if we don't resist Him. He'll bring it to pass. If we would understand how glorious, good, and perfect God's will is, then we would yield ourselves, really. This is the problem down here. We would yield ourselves wholeheartedly so that God's will would find its accomplishment in us. That's what we would just do. God, here it is. If we really understood it. They say there's no tears in heaven. I believe that. I don't think there's sorrow. But boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know if God will let us do this. If we realize what we could have had down here. When we get to heaven, we realize what we could have had, what God could have done, the joy and the blessedness we could experience down here if we would have just been obedient to the will of God, giving ourselves to the will. Knowing, it's not like this burdensome, obedient thing. It's knowing the joy, the love of God, that God's love is perfected in this, and that God's love, it's in God's love that He exerts His will or gives us His will to be obedient to. He's doing that because He loves us. He's leading us to love, like just like a parent with a child, right? And when we get that understanding, if we could understand that and see it. How many of you, when you know, your parents wouldn't let you do things, usually in the don'ts, thou shall nots of the parents' rule. How many of you realize when your parents, they wouldn't let you do stupid things when you was kids, you didn't understand it, and when you got older, you said, you know what, I see why my mom and dad did that. Have you figured that out, Danielle? You learned that? Just wondering. Well, you know what? Didn't all of us probably, right? Well, that's what, and we said, yep. I wish I had to listen sooner. I know what my parents tried. Why did your parents do that? Because they love you. Well, God's the same way. I think we're going to be in heaven going, yep, I see what God, same thing. It's the same thing. That would have made all the difference in the world. Amen? Finally, I know you all love that word. Believe that the will of God is His love. This is His love. And sit and look and view God's will for your life and see the blessings that are connected to His will. They are connected to His will that way. And all of heaven is doing it right now. All of heaven is being obedient to God. When we get to heaven, we're going to be in His will. Why not do it now? Why wait? You know, practice up. We got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Word leading us to do the will of God. We know what we should know what it is. Understanding is a problem. Our understanding, it should grow too. And I don't know that we'll completely, totally understand till we get to heaven, but we can understand enough of it to be obedient to God, because He doesn't command us to do anything. He doesn't give us His will to do anything He doesn't empower us to do. He doesn't give us an impossibility. He doesn't give us impossibility. Maybe impossible in our flesh, but not in His Spirit. It's not an impossibility. Learn to love God's will in everything. In trials, circumstances, difficulties. Like I said, Daniel knew it. Joseph knew it. David knew it. Paul knew it. They knew, boy, that they knew God's perfect will was the best thing. They came to a place in their life to understand that. And understand that when we pray for God's will to be done on earth, it's through us that He desires to accomplish His will to be done on earth. Yeah, not the neighbor, not the person next to you. Every single one of us. Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand with our eyes closed and heads bowed. Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your word tonight. And I do pray that we have an understanding of Your will, Lord. And even when we don't, Lord, just help us to know that it's out of love. Everything is done out of love. And that's all. If we know that and understand that, we don't really have to have an understanding of why your will is a certain way. Just can trust you, Lord. That's faith. That's our faith. I pray you increase that. Increase our understanding of yourself. And ask it in Jesus' name.